It's time for our normal Monday guest here on Afternoons with Aaron. He is the voice of Minnesota Golden Gopher football and the sports director, Minnesota News Network. Our good friend Mike Grimm joins us here on KETE. And Mike, a good afternoon. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing well, Aaron. Thank you. Yeah, it was a good weekend, I think, pretty much all the way around, right, in terms of Minnesota sports.
Yeah, Minnesota sports had a great weekend. Wild won their first two games. The Vikings, they found a way to win. We'll talk about them with a thriller in Carolina. And our Minnesota Golden Gophers, let's start there. 30-23 win against Nebraska. And, Mike, you look at this game, and from a Nebraska standpoint, this was a tough one for them to lose because especially in that second half, they kind of dominated the second half. They had so many chances. They had a big defensive stop by Minnesota. We'll get to the second half, I guess, in just a moment. But the first half, Tanner Morgan and company, the offense looked good. We were up 21-9 at halftime. Give us your assessment of what was a very good first 30 minutes of play.
Yeah, it was really good. I think the bye week helped, one, Chris Ottman-Bell get healthy, it looks like, because he was a factor and a big factor. And then they, I think, changed up some of what they wanted to do offensively. They had some nice creative play calls that we haven't seen, some quick hitting passes. Bryce Williams played more than I think a lot of people thought he would, and he certainly answered the bell. And it was fun because you could see him getting more comfortable. You know, when you're only playing on third down and your main goal is to block a linebacker who might blitz on third down, and then all of a sudden you're asked to carry the ball again for the first time in a steady dose, you know, in a couple of years, it isn't just something the first carry you're going to get. And I just thought he looked by this, you know, obviously he had the long run in the second half, which sealed the game, but he looked decisive by the time, you know, you hit the third and fourth quarter. And so I was excited for him. He's a good kid. And I was just excited that they took a couple deep shots. And that's the offense hopefully we see going forward. As you mentioned, the third quarter, they actually started the drive really well, and then into that win, Tanner threw an interception in the end zone, and then the next drive threw an interception again into that win, and I think that spooked them a little bit offensively, the coaching staff, and they kind of went back into the shell, which they tend to do anyway when you're leading. I mean, they've salted a lot of games away, so it isn't like and I wouldn't even say they got conservative. They just you know, didn't open it up, per se, in terms of throwing, taking a deep shot, those kind of things. So, I think it was a collaboration of three main things, and I think you hit on all of them. The offense in the first half was great. The defense in the second half was great. And then never underestimate, at least for the moment, what Nebraska can do to itself, because it seems when they're playing good teams every week, they find a few ways to inflict some wounds, self-inflicted wounds, and they miss a short field goal, which I affectionately called they missed the short field goal into the Blair Walsh Memorial end zone, and then they also they had fourth and goal, and I'm gonna say that's a 50-50 situation. There's no doubt Nebraska stubbed their toe literally on that. They handed it off to the running back, 245-pound guy. He tripped over the 3-yard line. There was nobody there. But that said, he still had momentum that if nobody's there, he's going to stumble into the end zone and accidentally score a touchdown. But the safety, Jordan Howden, came in, and as the guy was falling, he made sure he fell. He stuffed it, and you have to do that. You know, otherwise the momentum was going to carry him in. So, you know, there was a play to be made. Was it easier than it should have been? Probably. Did Nebraska shoot itself in the foot? Yes. But I also would say that some credit goes to, to the Gopher safety, Jordan Howden, for not just, oh, he tripped, I'm not going to get in there. He made the play he had to. And then you have the safety. And I know a lot of Nebraska people are like, they just gave him 2 points. That's Adrian Martinez's fault. And certainly he has some share of blame in it. They're at the 11-yard line and they get the safety. But if he doesn't throw it away, it's a safety anyway, right? Because he's getting tackled in the end zone by Asaze Otomewo, who put a great pass rush on and then was getting help from Boye Mafe on the other side. So I give 100% credit to that safety, to the Gopher defense, for how they pressured the quarterback and forced the throw away, and, you get 2 points. But I do think that was a combination of all three of those things. You got a great offense in the first half. I thought the defense played well the whole game, but especially in the second half. And then, yeah, Nebraska did what, unfortunately for Cornhusker fans, it's been doing for a while, and that is shooting itself in the foot at some inopportune times. And they did so again on Saturday at Huntington Bank Stadium.
Mike Grimm with us here on KATE. And just to touch on Nebraska again, we've always talked about the Vikings like this, where good teams find a way to win, bad teams find a way to lose. And I think Nebraska's in that latter part. And we know how big football is in big red country. I mean, the fans at Huntington Bank Stadium Saturday, plenty of red there cheering on Nebraska. But right now I think the Huskers are in that mode where they're just not a good enough team to find ways to win, because you mentioned the Gopher defense. Hats off to the Gopher defense. They made plenty of plays in the second half, but Nebraska did have their chances to really come back and push the Gophers even a little bit closer to getting, you know, to a nerve-wracking stage in that second half.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think from a Gopher standpoint, that is their next step. You know, if they want to take the step, and we can talk about it here in a minute, the West is suddenly there for the taking, right, with what happened in Iowa City on Saturday. So if the Gophers want to take that step, their next deal is when you have a nice lead, 21-3 at halftime to Miami, 10-7 or whatever it was against Bowling Green, that wasn't as comfortable. But then you've got 21-9 at halftime to Nebraska. You know, keep the foot on the throat. Like, you know, Tanner threw that interception in the end zone. If that lands, that's probably the knockout punch. Make the throw, you know. I mean, I thought the decision was good. I know the columnist for the newspaper said he threw into double coverage. But if you watch it, it was not double coverage until the wind held the ball up. If he throws it maybe a third of a second quicker and 5 yards farther, that ball's dropping right into Mike Brown-Stevens' hands of the safety, and the cornerback can't make a play on it because Brown-Stevens has the man beat. I thought the decision was great. The throw just got caught up in the wind, and he didn't put enough on it, and it was just a tick late, allowing a really good defensive player to make a play. So now those are the plays you make. And if you make those plays, you put distance. It's 28-9 then. That might be your ball game. You know, that might have been it to start the third quarter. There might have been nothing left with Nebraska, but they gave them life. You know, so that's the next step for Minnesota. I do think Nebraska at some point, they're a talented group, offensively and defensively. The stats are amazing. I mean, if you go just by pure formulas and take scores out, I saw a ranking this morning. Nebraska still ranked, I think, 26th, just based on what they do efficiency-wise, offensively and defensively. Of course, the computer can't take into effect the silly mistakes and penalties that they continue to inflict on themselves and miss field goals from 29 yards or whatever it was. So, but I do think that they will get somebody. And, you know, I doubt they make a bowl game now. They're sitting at, what, 3-5? I don't know if you can find 3 wins on the schedule, but they, you know, they'll have Purdue in a couple of weeks. They got Iowa at home to end the season on Black Friday. I think that's a winnable game for them, and we'll see where it all takes them. But they'll get a win. I'm glad that they held off though for at least one more week.
Voice of Golden Gopher football, Mike Grimm, with us here on KETE. And before we talk about the Big Ten West, PJ Fleck after the game on Saturday really talking about culture. I think it was kind of culture defeated talent in the win against Nebraska. I know you're at the PJ Fleck presser today. What's the latest that PJ had to say about the win on Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, he emphasized that again. He was thrilled with it. It was a team effort and all of that. And, of course, that comment came as a result of the comments that Scott Frost made. If you remember back in July, I think I talked with you from Lucas Oil Stadium at Big Ten Media Day. And Scott Frost, in his opening deal up at the podium, was asked, do they have a woman reporter ask him if they had a theme for the year, which a lot of teams do, you know. I mean, you know, P.J. Fleck has rolled the boat, but each year they have a theme. And I know Iowa in the past occasionally has thrown a theme up on the locker room wall, and other teams do as well. And some teams have a theme for the program just generally. So she just innocently asked the question. And he kind of took it in a new direction, clearly shooting arrows toward the Gopher program and toward P.J. Fleck, where he said, no, he goes, we don't believe in slogans. I played for a coach in Tom Osborne who just coached us how we're supposed to play, and we won games. We didn't have to worry about slogans. First of all, that's not true. Tom Osborne, if you go back and look in the history books, had a lot of stuff plastered up on the walls every day of different sayings and different things that they should do, but that's neither here nor there. And then he said, you know, if I have to use slogans to motivate my players, I've recruited the wrong players. We don't need guys like that. And then he went on to say sloganeering is, he called it sloganeering. I don't even know if that's a word, if you remember. And he said sloganeering is not anything, you know, we don't believe in that. If you have to do that, then you got the wrong players. Well, PJ, you know, that was clearly a shot at him. So he clearly stored that in the back pocket. And I'll be quite frank about it. I'm not, you know, I've seen a lot of PJ Fleck victory dances and those kind of things afterwards. He was really happy to get this win, and I do think it goes back to and then there's two kids from Minnesota on that roster who both had, frankly, some disparaging things to say during the week as well about Row the Boat and how that's why they didn't go to Minnesota. They didn't believe in it, and they think it's Selly. And so PJ was basically saying, look, they can say what they want. We took a lot of arrows. They called us every name in the book, but this is what a together team, culture team, these slogans creates a team. And a team without culture and without slogans, I think his insinuation, he didn't flat out say it, I think his insinuation is, might lose to a lesser talented team. So that's where that all originated from, and it makes for this rivalry pretty dang good. I love the rivalry, man. I think it's good. I think it's a good thing for the Big Ten, because it's one thing has become apparent in the last handful of years that with Nebraska's entry to the Big Ten, it didn't happen right away, but it's organically unfolded. Iowa fans and Minnesota fans are not Nebraska fans. In fact, I had some friends from, you know, I grew up in Iowa, some friends from Iowa, and they do not like the Gophers. That's a longtime rivalry, right?
Yep.
They're like, oh, we're cheering for Minnesota today. Never thought we'd cheer for Minnesota, but we do not like Nebraska. And so that rivalry's gotten good. The Minnesota-Nebraska rivalry's gotten good, and I think it's good for the Big Ten. This is, you need some spice, particularly in the West, where, quite frankly, you don't have some of the marquee names like Michigan and Ohio State. But if you can get some of these rivalries like this, it's good for business, frankly.
Mike Grimm here on KETE. And Mike, let's talk about the West. You mentioned Iowa. They just kind of laid an egg against Purdue. Purdue goes into Iowa City and pretty much it takes it to the then number two ranked Hawkeyes. And you look at the West, Iowa got beat by Purdue. Wisconsin's having a down year. As a Gopher fan, you're looking and going, okay, if there was a year to go and grab the West and play in a Big Ten, a title game, this is shaping up to be the year for Minnesota.
If you can take care of business, and look, you're probably favored in your next three games, you know, and then you get to November, and who knows what happens. So it's bizarre. It's where I remember when we talked after the Bowling Green game, you know, it's not over. You know, I mean, it was a terrible loss. There's no denying that. But it's happened before where, you know, a Big Ten team has stubbed its toe in an embarrassing way early, and they can, you know, make their way. 2018, Northwestern made its way to the Big Ten championship game and lost to Akron in the non-conference and got blown out by Duke that same year and ended up winning the West. And they did it with like 3 weeks to spare. I mean, they went and ran away from it. So, or ran away with it, I should say. So, look, that said, it's a fickle sport, right? If Maryland comes in and upsets Minnesota, we'll all be back into, boy, this, what's the future hold, right? So yep. You can't get too far ahead, and Maryland's on a bye week this week, so you got to be careful because at least three teams last week coming off of a bye, Purdue, Northwestern, Minnesota, all won. They all got some things organized during the bye week, and they all got nice wins, you know. So that's a little scary with Maryland. But in terms of the race, I think you'd be surprised here of what the situation is now. So there are three teams with one loss. Iowa's 3-1. Purdue and Minnesota are 2-1. And then you've got Wisconsin after that with two losses. And everybody else has three or more, so they're probably out of it. So Minnesota is one of two teams that controls its own destiny. If Minnesota wins out, regardless of anything else that happens, if Minnesota wins out, they will go to Indianapolis. They will win the division. Do you know who the other team is?
I'm going to guess, because it's probably not who I think it is. Is it Purdue?
It is Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
It is Wisconsin. The Badgers, you said they were struggling. They have been. They barely beat Army. But little old Wisconsin, here they come, enough to annoy us all here in Minnesota again. They control their own destiny now with that loss Iowa had to Purdue, and here's why. So they have two losses. Wisconsin has two Big Ten losses. They still play head-to-head the three teams with one loss, Iowa, Purdue, and Minnesota. So if Wisconsin wins out, I don't think they will, but let's say they do, That would give everybody, the best you could be is two losses. Everybody, right? Because Wisconsin would have beaten the three teams with one loss. Wisconsin would win out and have two losses. And they would hold the head-to-head tiebreaker by winning against all three of the teams they potentially could be tied with, and they would go to Indianapolis. Iowa needs help. You know, a week ago we thought it was a slam dunk they'd be in. If they win out, they need Purdue to lose somewhere, which they probably would. But I'm just talking in terms of right now at this moment on October 18th, who controls their own destiny. If Iowa and Purdue win out, Purdue goes to Indy. If Purdue wins out and Minnesota wins out, Minnesota goes to Indy. They hold the head-to-head, so Purdue needs help as well. They need Minnesota to lose. So it's right now, Minnesota, if it wins out, doesn't matter what happens, they'll be in Indy. Wisconsin, if it wins out, doesn't matter what happens, they'll be in Indy. And it's amazing what 1 week can do. We thought last week, didn't we all think, well, Iowa would really have to mess up. And not only did they mess up, they didn't look very good. So
no.
I'm thinking they'll lose another one or two. They're at Madison this week, and I don't know what the point spread is, but I bet it's close to a coin toss. If I don't bet, if I had to bet my own money, I don't know if I'd throw any on the Hawkeyes right now. Their offense is not very good. So it's a wide open West all of a sudden, and that was not the case when you and I talked a week ago at this time.
Voice of Golden Gopher football, Mike Graham, of course, sports director for the Minnesota News Network, joining us. And Mike, before we let you go, some quick comments about the Minnesota Vikings win yesterday, 34-28 against Carolina. Somehow the Panthers convert a couple of fourth downs late, and Minnesota needs an overtime drive by now. The captain, Captain Kirk, is looked good bringing the team back in late game situations to have a chance to win the game, and they got it done yesterday. We talked about this after the win against the Lions, and I'm sure Vikings fans on Twitter not happy with the way things went down, but a win's a win. You're 3-3. You're heading into the bye. You started 0-2, and at 0-2, if you would have said, hey, we're going to be 3-3 going to the bye, I'm going to take that, and you're going to take the win on the road any day of the week.
Yeah, 100%. And look, that was one of those games that was weird. You speak of the Gophers having, you know, my thought is their next step is to put teams away. That's the next step for Kirk Cousins and company. And I thought they deserved to win the game. I know you get a bitter, not you personally, but fans get a bitter taste in their mouth when you let the game leak away when you're up 11 in the fourth. And as a buddy of mine texted me, the Vikings really make it hard to enjoy wins. And I think that has been true so far. Last week's win against Detroit also kind of left a bitter taste. But as we talked about it, a win's a win. It's hard to win in the league. Four of the six games, regulation has ended on the foot of Greg Joseph. Think about that. That's how tight and the margin of error is. He missed two, and it went to he made one, it went to overtime, missed one, went to overtime, made one, won the game, and missed one, lost the game. Those are four of the six last plays of regulation this year, and that's how close the margin of error is. But I think their next step for the Vikings is also to put the game away. And, you know, I thought they got a little like the Gophers, frankly. They're up. They forced the sack fumble. They're like, what was it, around the 40, 45-yard line, and just totally went into the refrigerator there and did nothing. A couple of handoffs and a long bomb that had no chance. And you try to kick I think it was a 50-yard and a 47-yard field goal. And I know Dalvin was having a nice day, and I'm fine handing it off once. But after that, you're paying a quarterback $40 million. You got two of the top 20 receivers in the NFL. Let's let him continue to win games. And guess what happened? When they finally said, okay, go down and get, you know, a chance to win it, he drove right down. They had a chance to win it. They missed a field goal. They win the coin toss, said, all right, Kirk, go win the game, and he did. And made some just hellish throws. I mean, just really good on-time, on-target throws. And so hopefully they take a little lesson. They've got a bye week now to get things in order. And you're right, 3-3, take it and move on. I mean, they're frankly positioned that, you know, if they play winning football, obviously, they haven't eliminated themselves from anything at this point. They can certainly make the postseason.
We'll hear from Mike on the pregame show for the Golden Gophers coming up on Saturday. Maryland, the Turtles come to town. Pregame at 12:30. We'll have your kickoff at 2:30 on your home for Golden Gopher Athletics. And Mike, going back to the college football, this week Wisconsin's at Purdue. Wisconsin travels to Purdue, and then on the 30th, they get Iowa. So Wisconsin.
Yeah, Iowa's off this week. Yeah, you're right. Iowa has a bye. Correct. And actually, now that I think more about it, I think Northwestern, Now, they're not going to win out. They're a terrible team. But I think technically they also – I eliminated them in my mind, but there are two losses, and they also still play Wisconsin, Iowa, Purdue, and Minnesota yet. They haven't played – I don't know if they've played a division game yet. So I guess technically if Northwestern wins out, they would probably make it. But they've got Michigan this week, and that will probably end that situation in a hurry. But so I think technically they're there. But, yeah, thank you for correcting me on that. I forgot. Iowa has a bye week. Iowa's next game is Wisconsin, I guess, is the way I should have phrased that. So, yeah, Purdue-Wisconsin, you know, if Purdue wins, then Wisconsin is probably out of the mix. And Purdue's very much in the mix. And if Wisconsin wins, you know, I wouldn't call it an elimination game for Purdue, but it's pretty close because I know they have Wisconsin left on the schedule amongst and Nebraska. They play Nebraska in 2 weeks, and Nebraska has a bye this week also.
Mike Grimm, voice of Golden Gopher of football, joins us every Monday as we recap a Gophers win, a big win against Big Red. And again, the Vikings get by the Carolina Panthers yesterday in overtime. Mike, have a great week. Always appreciate the time, and we'll talk to you next Monday.
All right. Thank you. Always enjoyed it, Aaron.